Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, February 3rd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a provocative conversation. Actually, the other day, as I was hosting the Daily Show, right, one of my guests called in and asked about the Sovereign Wealth Fund, right, and then started saying some all kind of wild accusations, and I said, man, I'm not familiar with it, so I cannot speak on it. Of course, he got vexed at it, and I said, man, I just don't know. You can't blame me. So what I did, I said, I'm going to do some research, and I'm going to bring it back and discuss this sovereign wealth from a layman's perspective, right? Of course, there are some entities out there who have these conspiracy theories that think all kind of clandestine things are happening by the government who is trying to empower the people. So I say, let me bring our resident pseudo-intellectual, Erin Green. She's going to sit in with me. And because, you know, her approach is more analytical and she goes in detail and research. So I gave her homework and she went in detail as we investigate what is the Sovereign Wealth Fund, what is this amendment that this administration is trying to do, why they found it necessary or needed to amend this the Sovereign Wealth Fund, and what does the Bahamian people want of a Sovereign Wealth Fund. So that's where we're going to start. So of course, I'm going to start with a definition. I have a definition, right, of what Sovereign Wealth Fund, and of course, Erin has her own while she Googled, right? So a sovereign wealth fund typically manages and invests earnings generated by a country's budget surplus and for royalty payments for exploitation of their natural resources. So the fund is basically the management of natural resources, right? And the profit that we get from the sale or exploitation of those resources is put into this fund for the development of the country, right? Mind you, there are different types of sovereign wealth funds, right? Some where they pay out to the citizens, some where they reinvest into the country for capital development, and some where they invest into the people, right? So what had happened was the current administration saying that the Sovereign Wealth Fund that was created was inadequate, right? That it needed meat on it because it didn't give any details about how the fund is going to be managed, how it's going to be invested, who's going to be investing it in, and which projects that is going to be invested in, right? So they got an amendment, right? So I want to throw out some dates that in 2016, there was the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act, right, was done by the FNM administration, right? And of course, in 2019, I have this date down, let me make sure I have it, 2022, right? The Progressive Liberal Party administration did a National Investment Fund bill, right? And that's what is going to be debated or what has been passed and what we're discussing today, right? The bill highlights that it has a framework that will provide for proper and transparent management of the country's natural resources, but also support the country's development needs. And that was the critique of the Sovereign Wealth Fund, the initial Sovereign Wealth Fund, because they're saying that it didn't do that. It didn't say what the natural resources money is going to be invested in, how it's going to develop the country. Mind you, the previous Sovereign Wealth Fund had a subsection, I'm trying to see if I wrote that down or anything, which was called the National Infrastructural Fund. And it was proposed, right, which will mobilize public and private capital from local and international sources to be deployed in a true spirit of public and private development, right? It's a partnership. But again, reminding the audience, the listening audience, that this administration found it necessary. So that's what I'm going to discuss with Erin. Basically have an exchange with her in terms of why we need a sovereign wealth fund, democracy regarding it, and who is the fund for, the reason for, is the and who should own the fund. The initial fund, right, had basically the government owning the fund, right? It's going to be managed by the Ministry of Finance, and the government has a body where they manage the sovereign wealth fund. This new fund, the National Investment Fund Bill, will have a body, a private enterprise, who will manage and direct the path, right? And this is where I want to bring Erin in, because I know she wrote down some notes for me for an investigation. And what I'll do is pause here so I can get her into the conversation on what does she glean from her research. Go ahead, Erin.
What I've gathered is that the prior 2016 Sovereign Wealth Fund Act didn't have the mechanisms necessary to actually manage the funds that were put into them. What I gleaned from a statement from the Prime Minister, I think October 27, 2022, is that the National Investment Fund and its structure, right? Mm-hmm. The way that it structures this, these were created based on recommendations from the IDB.
Okay.
Right? And the Prime Minister suggests, or the statement suggests, that the IDB has recommended that they use this particular mechanism to bring them in line with global practices, global best practices. But I think that was in an October 27th article in The Guardian with comments from the Prime Minister. So it appears, on the surface that it is an improvement of the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act, but it's using different language. And the language, it appears, is important because of the structure of the new legislation, right? So it's called the National Investment Fund Act, and it actually creates funds, right? So maybe the shift is just technical.
Okay.
It's not philosophical, right?
So you know they mentioned the word carbon credits. I'm not sure if your notes mention carbon credits. And the, mm-hmm. and what this the both administration is trying to do is to monetize the assets of the Bahamas. We have land, the land, they have that in, mm-hmm. in both the Sovereign Wealth Fund and this investment, National Investment Fund.
Right.
Right? And now we're talking about the blue carbon credits, and then there's the
green carbon
and gray carbon credits.
Potentially gray carbon credits.
Potentially gray carbon credits, right?
When former Prime Minister Minnis spoke about it, I just pulled up an article. He referenced, and at the time that the FNM were working on amendments for mm-hmm. the 2016 Act, they referenced oil digging and oil resources, right?
We have no oil in the Bahamas.
That's not the point. We don't have any now.
No, we don't have the oil.
Maybe in 100,000 years.
Okay, I got to let you go now. Go ahead.
Right? But they were considering that oil would potentially be a resource, that right, the revenue from which would be managed by the Sovereign Wealth Fund.
And I know that they likened the initial Sovereign Wealth Fund, to that Norway's Sovereign Wealth Fund, mm-hmm. which they had oil,
yeah,
right, which we don't, which is a revenue generating agent,
yeah.
Right? You can bring up the oil and sell it. It
yeah.
makes money. Whereas inside of Bahamas, we don't have any resources that makes money per se.
Well, we got one.
We have to go actually sell it. What is?
So we've got aragonite, uidic sand.
No, but you don't. The aragonite sand makes other products that makes money. Right? So the sand itself isn't a revenue generator. You sell that to get the product that you sell to make money. Whereas with oil itself,
But anytime you're selling value. It, what you selling it for?
No, but the oil itself has value.
So you're saying that oil has a greater value, right?
To sell on the open market, and that the value is like almost fixed.
Because I would offer that if we approach our trade differently, that we may be able to generate significantly more money from the Arigan in its raw state. But I appreciate the point that you're making.
Yes.
But I appreciate the point that you're making. Another thing, when you reference the Norway model for the sovereign wealth fund, specifically that in that model, those funds are not invested in country, right? Those are invested with companies
outside,
entities
country, yes.
outside of the country. What I thought was interesting with this is, and I may be incorrect, the suggestion that the funds generated by our natural resources that would be put into the revenue that would be put into these funds would then be used in private-public partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
So the money will be invested in country.
And that's the difference between the initial sovereign wealth fund and this
right.
wealth fund right now, yeah. as the money here is going to be could be invested locally, and they have mechanisms in place to invest it locally.
Now, one of the questions I want to ask, I seek clarification, with the public-private partnerships that they're seeking to attract, will it be restricted to foreign private entities, or will the government be prepared to partner with local private entities?
And this is where the government need to be critiqued and criticized, mm-hmm. actually, because there needs to be an education process on what will happen,
mm-hmm.
right? I do not know what the government intends to do. Will it be a locally managed fund?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Will they get professionals here? No, I'm coming back to your point. Will they get professionals here to manage it? Or will they seek an investment, foreign investment company to manage our sovereign wealth fund?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you mentioned whether it's going to be invested locally or internationally?
So the local funds will be used in private-public partnerships for infrastructural work on the family island.
Will we get first bid, or do we have to go internationally? That's the thing.
Well, right. It will Bahamians be invited
mm-hmm.
to bid for the partnerships? Because the question is, see, on the face of it, you think, oh, that's discrimination if you don't let Bahamians mm-hmm. bid, right? But do Bahamian investors and Bahamian private entities have the capacity to maximize, right, the Bahamian dollar investment, right? Because the whole point is we're trying to get the best bang for our buck.
So that begs the question, whose fund is it for? Is it for the benefits of the Bahamas? And by that, when you said the difference between a nationalist patriot.
Yeah.
Where a patriot would go and say, man, I love this country, therefore I will take the best interest of the country, even if I have to go outside.
Right. Or even if I lose, right?
Or even if I lose, but for the benefit of the country.
Right.
Whereas a nationalist would say, I am entitled to this because I am a citizen,
right.
and these are what citizens have.
Like this idea that I have the right to have the advantage in my own country, even if the advantage is over other Bahamians.
Yes. So that's a nationalistic type point of view, which is completely different from a patriot point of view, who said the Bahamas must come first, no matter what. So that begs to the point where there might be times where we have to go outside in order to get a better deal, which would benefit the Bahamas in general.
So like if I could sort of stick a pin here, there are some questions I have about the whole thing. And one of the first questions is, can we embark on a venture of this nature without reinstating the Immovable Properties Act or some variation of the act, right? An amendment of the old act. And the second thing is this, does the government see the need, the obligation to provide transparency?
Mm.
Will it create overt mechanisms and transparent mechanisms to manage conflict of interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if people are concerned that Bahamians, although their infrastructure will be improved, won't have access to the economic opportunities that result in that improvement, right? Who has the capacity to participate in these public-private partnerships? Well, it's the people with the big resources.
Mm-hmm.
And then we reach the point where some Bahamians are going to say, but the same people always getting the same contract.
And this is why I'm concerned about the management of the Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Right.
Who will manage it? And how much political interference there is? Because you know, all of the government entities are appointed by the administration that is in power.
Yeah.
So do we assume that every 5 years, when a new administration comes in, a new board for the Sovereign Wealth Fund will be in charge, who will be doing the government's agenda in terms of spending the money, what project? And I'm saying, can this national investment fund survive
the politics?
No, without any national plan. Like, surely there should be a national plan, and then the money be used for the national direction of where the country is going.
Right, how the money is invested, in what areas the resources are diverted, should be determined by the national plan. The national plan should be based on consultation with the wider public, right? And so I absolutely agree with you. What mechanism, what doctrine, what statement from the people has driven your determination of where the resources should be focused? The technical stuff, right? Like, I manage my Seagrave wealth very well, but I'm not prepared to manage the wealth. No, I'm not broke.
Challenged it.
My toe broken, but I ain't broke.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's very important. One of the things I ask is, do we require a sort of natural resources, agriculture and aquaculture resource survey, right? Before we begin investing anything? And do we need to then mandate by law that the survey must be conducted regularly, like every 3 to 5 years, and the National Development Plan that drives the NIFA, the National Investment Fund, has to be informed by the National Development Plan that's informed by these surveys?
And I hear you. And it makes me wonder if more research and more work is needed to be done, because it doesn't seem to include the Bahamian public as to what it is this national fund, this national sovereign fund was before,
mm-hmm.
right? It seems as if the government has made up their mind and said, this is what we're going to do it for mm-hmm. you. And that's not democracy, and especially in a system where Bahamians do not trust the government. We don't trust the systems because none of our systems work properly.
Mm-hmm.
And if none of our systems work properly, and now you have the wealth of the nation inside a particular fund, it's natural to assume that even that will be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that a part of the contribution, I think, is by the Deputy Prime Minister, says the bill framework that will provide for proper, transparent management and of the country's resources, but also support the country's development. And they talk about this transparency, right, and talk mm-hmm. about the openness. But nothing that we have done so far. We're still waiting on the Freedom of Information
Right, in
Act.
Fact. The question is, what legislation do we need to not just implement, but enact and make operational, right? Because the problem with the FOIA is not that it hasn't been passed. It's not operational yet, right? Mm. And what are the legislative mechanisms do we need to put in place to protect our natural resources, right? But also to protect the natural resources from exploitation and devastation, but to protect the interests of the Bahamian people. So FOIA, I think, has to be operational. I think the Immovable Properties Act has to be reinstated and probably amended. Those are things that have to take place to ensure and be operational to ensure the protection of the interests of the Bahamian
people.
But
there's no discussion of that as yet. This is going to be enacted any minute now.
I agree. And I also agree with the urgency that you bring with the commentary. How is it that you could do this? And then suggest to us that the whole purpose of it is to protect our things for us.
Mm.
But you ain't never ask us.
Never ask us.
What do we consider our things?
Yes.
You know,
nor how should we benefit? Like, at this present time, there's no direct benefit for me as a citizen,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm not getting a check for $20, $30, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I see they have benefit for society. They said, and we can do the list of what mm-hmm. all of the different funds are for, right? Mm-hmm. And I wonder why wasn't that considered to say, well, can we get some money off of this? Or can I get a scholarship or some right. sort? Something right. directly to me.
So, and in particular with the carbon credit discussion, right? Which So I appreciate the point that you made earlier about where will the funds come from
yes.
to be diverted into this. The government has never spoken about carbon credits related to the citizen. Like, it's all going to go into a government fund.
Yes.
Right? And even the commentary here from the AG, and there's one specifically from the Minister for Investments and Tourism, he almost speaks specifically to the funds going to pay off the debt. That's what I inferred.
Yeah, because the fund isn't for that. The fund is not for that.
I think that was in one of the earlier statements from last year. Mm-hmm. Not as close to the time of the debate. Mm-hmm. You know, the commentary could change over that. But here it is from the minister. This bill has a capacity over time to ease the pressure on sovereign debt and improve our sovereign credit rating. There is a great opportunity through these funds to attract new investments in our country. A new infrastructure fund, for example, can roll in the existing bridges and leverage them to attract investments for bridges and hospitals and docks and airports. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, if the bridge failing, how the bridges could generate more money for more bridges? Mm. Anyway, that commentary, right? Now, mind you, that commentary is from an Eyewitness News article, the 13th of December, 2022. And time has changed things, you know, and mm-hmm. time has changed your perspective. But I think it's important for clarity from the government, right, that we know exactly what these funds are going to be used for. That's the purpose of creating a mechanism separate from the consolidated fund.
Yes, and we must quick to say that the Sovereign Wealth Fund be separated from the consolidated fund.
Yes.
This is a separate account for special projects, and it's not necessarily the money is going to be moved to the consolidated fund to run in the whole Bahamas.
It's like you know, with the VAT money. The VAT money was, we were told it was going to be used for a specific purpose.
Yes,
and now it's being used. It's like when you wake in and you get a little extra pay on your paycheck, and your mommy know exactly what she gonna do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I mean, what I want to show people is you familiar with these types of things
yes.
in your personal life, and you could relate to them.
And this is where the concern comes about on who will manage it. Will it be politically managed, politically influenced, right, by a selected board, selected by the government in power? And will, what would be their objective in terms of what they invest the money into?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that things will be invested in. Just recently, the Prime Minister announced three things that he's planning to concentrate on,
mm-hmm.
right? And will that, his opinion, be dictated to the persons who manage the Sovereign Wealth Fund? So these are the agendas for us, and whatever you're spending, it could be on these three things.
Right. So East Grand Bahama MP Kwesi Thompson was also very concerned. He was responding to comments maybe by both the Minister for Investments, Cooper,
mm-hmm.
and the Attorney General, Pinder. Now, Pinder, listen to this. Pinder says, this is a quote from an article, AG outlines funds proposed under investment funds bill.
Yes.
16th of December, 2022. Pinder says, speaking specifically to the National Shareholding Investment Fund,
mm-hmm.
and that is one of the three sub-funds,
yes.
right? I think that's one of the three
sub-funds. Yes, sub-funds, one of the three sub-funds.
Right? National Shareholding Investment Fund, Pinder continued. This government, in its blueprint for change, promised to the Bahamian people that it would create a new investment fund and consider transferring the government's private sector investment with consideration given to investments in APD, that's APD.
That's the airport?
Or the port. It's the port, Arawak Port Development, mm-hmm. Alive, BTC, Cable Bahamas, Bank of the Bahamas, and the Bridge Authority. There are, of course, other holdings that the government might consider putting in this type of private shareholding fund. The AG goes on, consistent with the obligation in the National Investment Bill we present today, this fund will be managed using professional managers and have a professional fund structure put in place. One of the goals of the National Shareholding Investment Fund would be to allow the government to creatively and systematically leverage those holdings to allow them to work for Bahamians at large in furtherance of a modern, mature, well-run country. Now,
you want to pause there? Because I want to ask, what do they mean by professional managers?
Well, I think they mean people who do this as their primary career, right? Their professional wealth investment, they're wealth investment professionals, and thus have an ethical standard that should prevent them.
Let me tell you this. In Norway,
yeah,
their chairman of their sovereign wealth fund was a philosopher, right? And he had no expertise in investments or anything.
Yeah.
His job was to bring the concept of ethics and have that as the high point in terms of how do you manage and do business and take care of the culture of the country's fund.
Right.
Right. And I know we have professionals, but does the ethics of how they manage things, especially when we see, because we have professionals at NAB, that ain't working well. We have professionals at BPL, that ain't working.
The resources is not the problem.
Yeah.
The resources is the lack of cohesion and cogency and clarity in the systems that our resources are forced to work in.
So I beg you again, what do they mean by these professional managers? Because we have professional managers here managing our things pretty well.
Well, when they say professional, what I instantly inferred was people that are not politically exposed.
Everybody's politically exposed.
Or have no attachment to a political
party. We are the most, a country would have 90% persons who participate in elections. We are politically exposed people. This is who we are. We go and protest and have our favorites. So to say that we can bring out independent people who are professionals, it's kind of uneasy for me because I don't believe it.
See, I would say foreigners then, but then my government talked to more foreigners than I talked to, and I don't know who is who.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, you see? Yeah. But this is very important. So Kwesi Thompson goes on to say, sort of following your point, for his part, he said there were a number of problems with the bill. The problem, though, with this bill is that it is full of potentially political influence.
See?
So he actually hailed the government's intention to have the whole mechanism managed by private and possibly foreign entities. But he points out that the bill is still full of potentially political influence, right? And so the question of who manages the bill and how they are influenced by the administration, the political class and the political culture is very important.
Yes.
Maybe we need to do what Norway did, and we need to set as the standard, right? The most important thing is the ethics of it.
Yes.
Right? And that's what drives the fund and not the economics of it.
You finished with that? Because I wanted to go and I wanted to detail what these funds are. I know you mentioned three specific funds. Right? And I wanted to go in detail with that. And
you got a couple texts now.
You sure? Okay. So the first major fund, which will manage the National Investment Fund Bill 2022, will be BRIF, which is Bahamas Resilient Infrastructure Fund. Right? And this Bahamas Resilient Infrastructure Fund is family island based, right? Which will develop the family island. And the Prime Minister has already said that they're already in their 2022-2023 budget. They have already put in place that 10% of the revenue collected from the Family Islands property taxes and road fees, which will more likely accumulate to about $200 million, will be already put into that fund to manage that. So that's basically in 2022-2023, they have access to money to start this family island infrastructure program. Mm-hmm. So I found that interesting, and that they have a system for that already, which should be managed by the Sovereign Wealth Fund system.
And, you know, that's very interesting. I thought, okay, So you have 10% of overall revenue collected in the Family Islands, mm-hmm. right? But to what extent does Family Island development support economic growth in New Providence? Mm. And what percentage of the revenues generated should also be diverted back to the Family Islands?
But that's what this was for, eh? You have $200 million that they will be diverted directly to the Family Islands.
But exactly where from?
From the 10% from the total revenue they collected.
From the Family Island?
Only from the Family Island.
Right, and what I'm saying is,
if that money's small, they ain't get much money back.
But not just that. It's not about whether, okay, what they produce themselves is small. I'm saying that what they produce is larger than what is generated in the Family Island. Mm. And there needs to be an assessment of the economic impact of the Family Island on the capital and Grand Bahama, because maybe of some of those funds also need to be diverted to the funds to support Family Island infrastructural growth.
You mentioned Grand Bahama. Is Grand Bahama a Family Island?
Yes, it is.
Grand Bahama is a Family
Island?
It's not a second city anymore?
No, see, just because it has a... This is the thing. Just because it has a free trade zone in it, it doesn't mean it's not a Family Island. The places where the majority of the people actually live is like a Family Island. And I think that definition has hampered its ability to grow, because we only see Freeport and think, well, why they need money there?
And this is, again, one of my concerns. Without a national plan, there exists no national plan, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know how this, which direction the fund or the money is going to be used, or how. How will the money generated be used in Crooked Island in contrast to a place like Grand Bahama? Will Grand Bahama get more access or easier access to the fund? Or will Crooked Island get, say, man, you're backwards or primitive, and for lack of a better word, I don't mean to demean them, so you all should get even more money so you all can play catch-up. So my point is, how, what is the fairness in it? Mm-hmm. You know, no one is explaining that to me as to who gets who. I have the money, mm-hmm. but why isn't it that Andrus get the money first over Abaco?
Right.
Or Abaco had priority because they had the hurricane.
And I think we need to do the work. And first of all, to decide where the work needs to be done, what work is going to get done, and to do the work, you need a different type of survey, Mr. Newry. You mm-hmm. need a survey about population distribution.
Hmm.
And you need to ask people, if there were infrastructural upgrades, would you move back to your island? And then you set out like a hierarchy of upgrade, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word. What rate of development would drive you back to the island? 10% increase, 30% increase, 60% increase. What would drive you back to the island? That needs to be done before.
And I know there are Acklands people, and I speak for Acklands, who would say that they would go home if there were more commerce there.
Yeah.
And then there would be people who would say, man, they need a move to get on the mall.
Yeah.
Which it means that it turns into New Providence, right?
Yeah.
Who determines what it is and what is the adequate amount of infrastructure needed? Would it be the government? Would it be the managers of the Sovereign Wealth Fund? Or will it be the people of the Bahamas being intimately involved? And I don't see the people of the Bahamas intimately involved on where the money is being spent.
Right.
It seems to be still politically directed.
And the fear that you're going to leave printed in people's minds is, did you already know where you're driving investment, not based on the needs or desires, right, projections of the Bahamians, but on the desires of the foreign direct investor?
Hmm.
And that's even more troubling, but it's so easy to leave Bahamians with that impression.
Interesting. But let's go to the phone line. Let's see if we get a phone call here. So pass the caller through. Let me see what they're saying. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Newry.
How you doing, man?
Morning.
Yeah, all right. You know, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
I could listen to you all day, you know. You know, and thanks for reminding the public that there's no such thing as a national development plan, right, Mr. Newry, without public input. I love you for that, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what nobody's talking about, different from them not answering the question of how would they measure anthropogenic carbon, which is carboniferous carbon? Nobody could tell me how they can measure that, but I know this is a financial instrument. But here's what nobody's talking about, Ms. Green. And I listen to C.A. Newry as far as ethics, and I agree with him. But here's what nobody's talking about. Let's say the carbon neutrality, right? We know that some of our outer islands are vastly, are sparsely populated, right? So they have more forestry, right?
Yes.
So they offset more carbon, so they could be able to sell carbon credits. Also, I'm not hearing this narrative about voluntary carbon credits, like people who, like personal landowners actually selling carbon credits on, this is called a voluntary market. And so they'll be able to get monetary gains from this because they own the land and they have the trees on it. So it's really based on the amount of trees as far as the carbon neutrality concept as offsetting the amount of carbon, which is, what nature put out and which is anthropogenic. All right? And they're not talking about that. So I was reading up on this for a while, and what I'm noticing is that as time passed, the price of a metric ton increases. So it was less in 2020, and it's more now. And so initially when I read it, it was, some of them say like from $2.80 per metric ton and $3.00 to 2021, but it actually speaks of different type of carbon credits, right? But they're not, I have never heard anybody talk about the voluntary market, all right? I've never heard that concept. And what I learned is from reading here and there, the prices increases. So I saw the disparity in the figures, which firstly was $7 to $13, and then I see where they get, as a third party, where you say they put it on the securities or stock market, and they sell it. So I see it as a financial instrument, because when it reached that point, I see like $80 to $100 per metric ton. So this disparity leads me to believe that it's obviously a financial tool, but they're not speaking about that. And then they want to follow China and other these first world countries, but I read where people in China and certain first world countries, they are actually given checks for riding bicycles, not eating meat, etc. So I'm living green, but I'm not green in my mind. So this is too complex, even as far as calculating carbon emissions. I didn't even want to get into this paradigm.
Yes, sir.
All right? But it's not fair that, like you said, public consultation, and that only comes from educating the public.
Yes, sir.
Because I see this really as just that. So I don't know. I heard CNU saying conspiracy, but I don't know. There's a rumor that the government changed the sovereign wealth fund or whatever, but I don't know how they could sneak that in if they did it. But I really was totally ignorant about what that particular situation. I don't know anything about that, but I don't know if you guys could comment on that, all right, because this is basically a financial instrument. So even with the, and C.A. Nuri, with the aragonite, right? What they don't want to tell you is that the aragonites, they are basically calcium carbonates, right? But what they don't want to tell you is we have, our aragonite is very pure, and they know that. See, Alan mentioned that. But what I'm saying is we have different forms of aragonite. We have the calcite, the vaterite. They basically have the same chemical constituents, but the structural formulas, they are structurally different. So they value more than the other, but we are still giving a flat price because of our ignorance. Have a good day.
And moving forward, we need to find out, with the deals we already signed. How does having this sovereign wealth fund, this national investment fund, how does it impact that?
Will it require those deals to trade? But just to sort of respond to 52, I don't think we're ever going to hear about voluntary carbon credits in this local market. In fact, I'm almost certain I heard the government actors, including the prime minister, state that government's going to trade carbon credits. And it's not, I'm paraphrasing, of course. This ain't a thing for the average citizen. That's why I tell y'all, if you live in Pinewood, now is the time to turn it into a lake and tell the government if you're going to live in a lake, at least you could enjoy the carbon credits from it.
It won't be no direct benefits, I don't see. Anyway, if we're going on a short commercial break, when we come back, we'll discuss the framework and mention the three funds and the sub-funds that is going to be implemented to govern this national investment fund and try to explain that to the audience. I'll be right back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919.
J.S. peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nurin of Aaron Green here, who's our resident student intellectual, who we're going to go into detail about the Sovereign Wealth Fund / National Investment Fund and the new bill that has been proposed or instituted for 2022. And we want, I mentioned before the break that we want to go over the framework, the various funds. But before then, let's go to the caller who is calling now and see how they can add to this conversation. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing, Nuri and Ms. Green? Alan Johnson.
Go ahead, Sian.
Yeah. You know, Aaron and Nuri, if a sixth grader can't understand what we're proposing, then it's not. It's definitely too complicated. Now, I think I'd sent both of you a video of what a cop, what a sovereign wealth fund proper structure is based on the standards around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But let me speak to the human people. Because essentially what we have done is take all of the natural resources, and you're right, the government law basically take possession of all carbon credits in the Bahamas, no matter who produces it. 52 is correct. Aragonite is in multiple forms. In fact, the government in making this bill should have told us the 125 different natural resources in the country. Did y'all see any listing of the natural resources in the country where it says all natural resources? Known and unknown, seen and unseen, tangible and intangible?
No.
It isn't. So it's almost like you'll make the rules up as it goes about. But again, a sovereign wealth fund is just something that takes possession of all the assets, known and unknown, seen and unseen, tangible and intangible, to hold in trust for the benefits of the country. It's from that point, and you don't dump money into the treasury because it doesn't set a limit on the spend. It is from that point that the sovereign wealth fund that holds these assets seeks out sovereign asset management companies to manage each of those assets. And it could be multiple companies managing the same assets, just a different aspect of it. They don't own it. They just simply add value to it for the sake of making profit so they get their fees. And from that, proportionately, you can, through legislation, decide how much goes to the sovereign wealth fund and how much is dedicated for certain things that need to be that needs to be done. This is not rocket science. It's been done by Singapore, practically every state in the United States, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Norway, all the countries that we have. None of them brings this complexity that we somehow want to deposit into the hands of the prime minister the godlike powers over these 125 different natural resources. Just take, for instance, the power of aragonite. And I don't want to run on, right? But we really do have to have a conversation on this. But do you know, as global warming is happening, acidity is happening in the ocean, the aragonite that occurs in the Bahamas poses a potential solution to that? Because if you look at the balance of aragonite, just on the small grand, on the small Bahama Bank, we have over 150 billion tons of aragonite that's already been deposited. That's the little Bahama Bank. I won't talk about the large Bahama Bank. But there's a phenomenon that happens in the Bahamas that creates the multiple grades of aragonite into the tune of billions of tons per year. I know we talk about mining it, but it's a whole, this is where you have a sovereign asset management with professionalism that comes in, examines, gives reports and everything else of that sort. So we don't have this happenstance, not knowing the full value we're getting, because we ended some PPP to say, okay, you manage the aragonite and then do some roads and stuff. And we have no levels of accountability. And I think the bills that are passed is defective at best. And I do think that behemoths must demand that we have a competent conversation concerning these resources. And just end in saying this. I remember when I started talking about carbon credits in the early 2000s, even the environmentalists in this town thought I was a crazy tree hugger. That I was fighting against Bahama Rock for them destroying the seabed, for them destroying the seagrass, for them destroying the mangroves and all those various different things. And many of the reports that is made in the public domain that we have people say they have fish that can drive around the Bahamas and document everything else is already available in the public domain, because there are institutions around the world, including intelligence agencies, that documents all the various different resources in the world and the ability to exploit it for future use. And we need not to have five-year celebrities in the arrogance of their ignorance make decisions without input from the complete public that could affect us for generations to come.
Thank you very much, Tian. And C. Allen mentioned that we need more education again, because few behemoths understand what carbon credit is and the various degrees of carbon. We don't even understand that various economies, this orange economy, this blue economy, we just don't understand it. Yeah. So the government has been lacking. And he also spoke on expertise, right, in terms of managing the wealth fund, in terms of it cannot be governed and managed by the political directorate. It needs to be an independent body. So and all of that is our concerns.
And just a point, understanding the power of or the value of aragonite, there's a place in the Andres waters off Andres called the Jolta Keys. The Jolta Keys didn't exist when Christopher Columbus said he sailed through this place. The Jolta Keys exist because Uitic sand, one of the forms of aragonite, is pushed above the high water mark. And when fresh water hits it, it calcifies, calcium carbonate, and turns into rock. That's the value. We have slow land formation and rapid land formation in our archipelago. Slow land with slow with aragonite and down south in Mayaguana on that plate.
Okay. I see we have another caller here. Let me pass the caller through, and then we'll quickly go over these various funds. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? I can hear you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I can't hear you.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to ask you a question. I remember there was some talk about this aragonite and a particular family that has owned it, and we couldn't do anything about it. Now we got this sovereign wealth fund, and it's happening, and the public is not aware of it. Could a similar situation be happening where there's a group of people who are just trying to steal all of this from the Bahamian people? Yes or no?
I don't know. And this is where the transparency comes in. Definitely the fund that will be managed openly, and then they have it emphasized through all of the acts and bills. They speak about transparency. They also quote international accords that will be signed. See, one thing they think needed to manage the sovereign wealth fund is independent, nonpartisan, transparent, accountable entities to manage the fund. So that is the precursor to all of this. That's the precursor to all of this. But I want to bring up this, right? The framework. I mentioned BRIEF, which is the Bahamas Resilient Infrastructure Fund, and I mentioned the Family Island Infrastructure. Then I wanted to mention the PCM, right? The PCM is the Private
Capital Mobilization
Strategy. Yeah. And that is broken up into three different categories. And I wanted to go in detail with that. It says Renewable Energy Fund, the Fund for the Family Island, and Food Security Fund. And I want to know your input on those. This PCM, the Private Capital Mobilization Strategy. And these are the three areas which the National Investment Fund, we call it two so far, and this is the second one. This is National Investment Fund will be broken into. But I wanted to speak on this Renewable Energy Fund. What do you think about that? If you have any comment on that?
I think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Given archipelagic nature, we have the largest mass of territory in the region. It's spread out, right, over islands. So providing equal and equitable access to services is going to be very difficult for the Bahamas government. So providing these islands with the infrastructure to generate their own renewable energy mm-hmm. is great. I only have one concern.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the entities in the country that have the capacity to form public-private partnerships to bring renewable energy, sustainable renewable energy to the family islands?
You don't want to be a mechanism that we try to enrich certain families again, yet again.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Because right now, let's talk about the cement company, one family.
I'm just saying the man who want to own the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very concerned.
And oil, the sun and oil.
Right. Mm-hmm. That we have to have mechanisms to manage conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have mechanisms, not just to demand transparency, but to make anything but transparency impossible.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you have to set it up. It has to be transparent, right? But it's a given. The government just cannot, in its current capacity, manage it. And New Providence people are subsidizing it,
mm-hmm.
which is okay, because we're all equal and equal citizens should have equitable access to all of the resources and the benefits of this country. So I kind of like that one. Like I said, just concerned about how the PPPs are managed.
Now, man, you want to go to food security, right?
Yeah.
But this real estate, the third one, this real estate development fund. And I was trying to understand exactly what that means, because I know the prime minister office controls the land and property.
I don't know what it means, but we need to have, before we could go any further with that,
mm-hmm.
we need to have a reconciliation of the Crown Land Registry and the application.
We don't know who owned the land.
Man, I know people who've been waiting to, look here, I know people who've been waiting for over 20 years for their Crown Land, have been told that it's been approved, and they cannot pick up the paper. Somebody always not at work. Before they can enforce, implement, start that, we need to have a Crown Land Registry, a land registry, a reconciliation of the Crown Land applications. And before you could take the value of the Crown Land and invest it in any mechanism, you need to tell these people why they couldn't get access to their Crown Land.
It's 12 o'clock, Aaron. That means we have to go. That means we have to continue this conversation.
Okay, yeah. Quick note.
Go ahead.
If you've been trying to call the show and you can't get through, text the show and let us know what number you've been trying to call on. Because I got one heavy, heavy text just now. I wanted to text it and know they hurt my feelings.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM. Take care.